Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
He's back with us, Dr. Paul Dalton, Associate Professor of Psychology at UCD and Head of Clinical Psychology at St. Vincent's University Hospital. You're very welcome back, Dr. Dalton. Last week we were talking about minding ourselves and what it means to mind yourself. And you were talking, I think, about breathing. This week you're going to talk to us about thinking.
Yeah, you know, we started out last week and I said that we'd look at three ways that people can practically mind themselves. So breathing, thinking and remembering. And they're the things that come up when we look at what human beings have done down through the centuries and when we look at the more contemporary or more recent research. So those three things. So we looked at breathing, and those exercises and conversations are on the programme website. And yeah, Cormac, this week to talk about thinking, a lot of people would be surprised to hear a psychologist say that thoughts are not facts. Now, maybe in some realm of very exact science, thoughts might be facts, but where most of us live in our day-to-day lives and the things that cause us distress, the things that cause conflict and sadness and anxiety, it's safe enough to say that our thoughts are not facts. And in actual fact, when we really, really, really believe that something is absolutely true, then is the time to doubt yourself. That's the moment to ask yourself, maybe not. The absolute certainty in our beliefs is basically a form of fundamentalism. It's my inner fundamentalist comes to life. And we all have one, that inner fundamentalist that is sometimes most active in our relationships, in our close personal relationships or in our professional relationships. And we've all found ourselves in those situations where we become very entrenched in our opinion, my version of the facts, my need to be right.
Are you talking to us then, not just about thinking point blank, but the way we think? And kind of checking the way we think. Am I picking you up right there?
Yeah, I think you're picking up absolutely right. So we have thoughts, and there are ways that we think that are that can be helpful and unhelpful. So if you think about the fundamentalist, the kind of this is absolutely right, there's no other way, the opposite of that is that sense of curiosity and wonder that we can have. Someone said to me recently about our grandmother, and she said, you know, my grandmother's greatest compliment or highest compliment was to describe someone as open-minded. And I think that kind of captures it, actually. And they're often the people that we want to be around, are those people who are open-minded. But Cormac, there's a really important piece in this too, because how we think really impacts on our mood and our psychological well-being. And back in the 1960s, there was a famous psychiatrist, Aaron Beck. And Aaron Beck basically brought this idea together and he said, look, what's going on in our minds, the nature of our thinking impacts on our mood. And he brought to life CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy.
And we hear so much about this.
Sarah, we hear a lot about it. It has a really good evidence base. Often it's the go-to for people. Aaron Beck brought that about. He brought that into life. But if you look at CBT, a cognitive behavioral therapy, it is really influenced even by the early Stoics. So, and that's the idea that we're not upset about what happens to us, but we're more upset, more impacted by our interpretation of it. Now, an important caveat, because I said this last week and I'll say it again, that's fine once you have a roof over your head and you have food in your belly. So that's the caveat to this emphasis on thinking, that thinking is not going to protect you from disadvantage and from all of those things that. But once there's a basis.
But it could protect you from, for example, walking down the hallway and your boss ignores you and you think, well, that's it, now she hates me.
So I mean, perfect examples there. So you know that, okay, so you got a choice there. I walk down the corridor, boss ignores me, I think, what's my thought? Oh God, I've done something wrong, I'm in trouble, I've overlooked something. One thought. That thought gets us generally maybe agitated, low mood, might increase the stress. There's an alternative thought that might go, oh, she's forgotten her glasses. That thought will bring about a very different mood, a very, very different feeling. So I mean, that kind of gets to it at some level.
The real challenge, though, Paul, for all of that, for me anyway, is to be, first of all, aware of the thoughts, because there's so many of them and they're constant and there's all these narratives running through your head all the time. And then to have the energy to challenge them, you know, like you have to first of all realize that's what you're thinking, you know, be conscious of the negative sort of narrative and then challenge it as well.
So you've nailed it there, right? Because the thing is, a lot of our thinking is automatic. It happens quickly. So I'm cycling up here today. I don't have to look at a traffic light and go, what is that? I know what it is. Okay. So our thinking is automatic. And as you say it, we're often on automatic pilot. So we don't notice the thought, but we get to the end of the day or we get to the end of a meeting and suddenly the mood is low or we're worried or we're anxious or fretful. So what you've said is key. And what we talked about last week was the slowing down, paying attention to the breath as a way to come out of automatic pilot. So kind of building that muscle where we actually begin to notice the automatic and the unconscious thinking, because what the science says, what the research around this is, says that the thoughts that we are unaware of are as powerful as the thoughts we're aware of. So it is about catching them. Sorry,
could I jump in there, Paul? Because here's a key question, in my opinion, based on what you said so far. If a lot of thoughts are automatic, and the automatic thoughts you might be having may be negative or self-critical, how do you change them then if they're automatic?
So step number one, we begin to notice the automatic, we begin to notice our thinking, okay? And that takes practice. And we touched on this last week, Cormac. Anyone who promises a very quick solution to stress or anxiety is selling you a pup, okay? So this takes training. It's kind of building up the muscle where, A, we begin to notice. So we begin to notice, okay, there's that kind of recurrent thought. Beck, I think, was really good in this. And Beck said that there are kind of, he called them thought distortions, that there are 10 different kinds of thought distortions. And there are two of them that I think are really important. So if we kind of begin to notice these kinds of thinking, so one of them is called labelling and the other is called all or nothing thinking. So labelling happens, Cormac, when we over-identify with our shortcomings. So when we get something wrong, instead of saying, I made a mistake on that, we tell ourselves things like, I'm an idiot or I'm useless. Yeah. We label ourselves, and that happens in a split second, but it can have very significant impact on the mood. And the other one, the other thought distortion is all or nothing thinking. The kind of black and white, all or nothing thinking. And that's when we split our experience into extremes. So, for example, because I'm late for work or I forget about a meeting, I think I always get things wrong, or this is always terrible. And simply that's not the case. The underlying piece here, when it comes to thinking, is our fragments for totality. When we confuse a fragment of our life, a fragment or something that we've done, for all of us, that's when we really cause the greatest stress and harm to ourselves and to other people around us. That's the inner fundamentalist, you know, that fails to see, I can do something wrong, but that's not all of me.
That's not who I am. That doesn't mean I am
wrong.
That's not
the totality. Exactly. Mm. That's not the totality.
Brilliant.
I think just with that caveat that we've said, I am with the Stoics on this, and the Buddha said it, that, you know, our thoughts create the world. What we are is what we think.
Okay. Okay, Paul, we have to leave it there. But thank you so much for joining us this evening. That's Dr. Paul Dalton, Associate Professor of Psychology at UCD. And we'll, of course, put that, you'll be able to listen back to what Paul has to say on that on our podcast.